This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President, simplifying a complex money world with investment programs to match a range of investment goals and life situations. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the May 18th edition of Invest Talk, Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. We've been talking about coming volatility. Like any endeavor, investing has its own language, and until you learn it, it can sound confusing. It makes people feel like they're an outsider. So, but with little or no understanding of the lingo, your chances of success are slim to none. Need to know terms for beginning investors. That's what's going to be one of our talking points today. What terms you need to know. These are basic terms, a number of them. And you need to know them, or else when we talk, or when I talk, or Justin talks, we're going to lose you. It's going to be confusing. So that's going to be our main talking point today. So we welcome your questions along the way, of course. Questions about our topic or yours. We don't have to talk about what I want to talk about. Our listener line is 888-99-CHART. That means you can call that number anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and leave a question. And we're live right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. There are many recently evolved financial products that can make life much simpler for the investor with limited experience. Of course, we talk regularly about, you know, the proliferation of ETFs. So you know about those, but do you know about the merits of municipal ETFs? More and more of these instruments are being invented every day. Municipal ETFs offer investors instant diversification, as this is a fund which is professionally managed and holds a broad array of bonds. Management fees and expenses are very low compared to purchasing the same amount of bonds from your broker in your own account. You also have a high degree of liquidity. Owning individual bonds may take time and knowledge that you may not have, right? So you can buy municipal ETFs, municipal bond ETFs, with all the advantages of the tax breaks you get when you do that, when you buy municipal ETFs in your state. Now, one of the biggest disadvantages to owning a municipal ETF is that the individual securities that make up the fund may not correlate to the price of the fund. The fund will trade based on supply and demand of the shares, not the price and value of the holdings. That's a very important distinction there. Okay, so when you buy a municipal ETF bond fund, it's supply and demand, not necessarily what the actual value of the bonds are that push prices around, push the price of that ETF up and down. But it is an easy way to reduce your tax burden, and it gives you great diversification. Those are the benefits. Now, do you have questions about municipal ETFs or municipal bonds? You can get through right now with any money question. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. And so let's take this question that came in before today's program.
Hi, Steve or Justin. This is Jake from York, PA. I have a very general question for you. I've heard the rule of thumb that you should set aside 30% of your income for housing, but I was not sure if that was pre-tax or after-tax. Just hoping you can give some clarification on that. I'll be listening on the podcast. Thank you.
Okay, that's really a good question. You know, is 30% of your take-home pay, how much money do you have? 30% of that should be earmarked for rent or buying a house, whatever that monthly cost of your abode, whether it's a rental apartment or a leased house or purchase house. 30% is a good rule of thumb of your take-home pay that can be paid for mortgage. Now, I have seen it people do up to 50-60%, but 30% is one that's really comfortable, and a lot of rule of thumb for banks wanting to loan you money. Of course, then of course banks go outside that limit as well. But then usually when I'm talking about banks, I'm talking about mortgage. If it's more than about 30%, then banks get nervous, costs go up, different things happen. Good question, though. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So what happened in the market today? What happened? Remember, we had a big, huge down day yesterday. The market bounced. Didn't bounce a lot, but it did bounce. That's important. It's important to know that. So some of our talking points today are going to be need to know terms for the beginning investor. The middle class is shrinking in the U.S. Is that all bad news? Also, a big financial mistake millennials are making right now. Big one. We'll discuss that. And the fastest ways to lose all your money in the stock market. I'm going to go over five fastest ways to lose all your money in the stock market. I think that's pretty going to be a little bit entertaining for you. But the market was up today. It had a bounce. The Dow was up 56 points, the NASDAQ up 44 points, and the S&P up 9 points. Now, after being down much more than that yesterday, right? After being down much more than that, this was a fairly weak bounce. It wasn't a strong bounce. What was very interesting, I thought, today was that the pre-opening, the futures market, said that the Dow is going to be down 100 points. Well, the Dow did open up a little bit down, but not 100 points. And then it got stronger, slowly stronger during the day. So did the other indexes. Slowly got stronger during the day. So what can we make of this? Is this something that we can say, okay, this is a one-day blip? No, no. It's too early to make that kind of call. Way too early. Got to remember, yesterday's move was on very large volume. Today's move was on more than normal volume, but not large volume. And the market actually was doing better at a certain point than gave some of that strength back. So it's too early. We got to wait a few more days to make a decision. Are we, you know, starting a new downtrend, or is it just a one-day phenomena? And remember, it's all about politics. It really is. So far, it's all about politics. People are not paying really close attention to the economic numbers. We did have better than expected earnings in this most recent earnings season. And the next earnings season won't start till, you know, July. So I think you're just too early to call yet. We'll see. Take your time. Don't worry. No need to panic about anything. 888-99-CHART. 888-992-4278 is our listener line number. You can call anytime you want. What's on your mind? I'm Financial Advisor Steve Peasley. Be sure to sign up for our free wealth webinar coming up on May 31st. Realtor and real estate investor Chevy Atkinson will join Justin Klein for this online event. We're going to talk about real estate. It's May 31st at 6:30. If you thought about investing in real estate, this is for you. It is free. All you have to do is register on investtalk.com. 888-99-CHART is our live listener line every weekday, 4 to 5 Pacific time.
Hey, Steve and Justin. Love the show. Just had a quick question for you. With Walmart hit an all-time high, or being near its all-time high today, just thinking about a possible play here. Sitting on a small profit, was thinking of selling out of that position and dollar cost averaging into two online retailers, Amazon and Baba, basically sitting on a little bit of cash and waiting for an opportunity to get into those two names to dollar cost average in, as I said, over the course of the next few months. Just wanted to get your take on that idea. Thanks. Bye.
No, there's nothing wrong with that idea, but remember, you're moving away from something that's from one type of stock equity to a very different type of stock equity. Walmart, you know, it operates 12,000 stores. So it's a retailer, you know, very old, big, stable retailer. And then you're talking about going into some high-tech kind of stocks. Two very different types of investments. Okay, so you have to decide that that's, remember, we talk about portfolio risk and proper diversification. And so you're moving from what I would consider a core holding Walmart in the retail sector to some other to a tech core holding. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I just want you to understand this is the decision you're making. And yeah, there's nothing wrong with taking some profits on Walmart. Had a good day today, up 3%, by the way, a new 52-week high. Nothing wrong with taking some profits and realigning them somewhere else. Nothing wrong with that. And again, market's pretty overvalued, so a dollar cost average approach might be a good approach in getting into another sector. But, there's nothing wrong with that decision. But I would like to look at I would like you to look at your overall portfolio and decide, is that what your portfolio should have? Or should it hold on to Walmart? Yeah, it's a core holding. 888-99-CHART. So let's talk about terms. Some terms that you need to know. You have to know. You know what volume is. Volume is of just the number of shares traded in the day. Capitalization, market cap. That just means the size of the company. And how do you determine the size of the company? Is the number of shares outstanding tying the price of the company, the stock. Tying the price of the stock. It gives you market capitalization. EBITDA. EBITDA, EBITDA, EBITDA. That is earnings before interest, taxes, and amortization, EBITDA. In other words, that refers to the company's operating profits, what that is. EPS, earnings per share, how much money a company makes per share. Price to earnings ratio, PE ratio, the price of the stock divided by the earnings per share of the stock, price earnings ratio. Earnings report, guidelines, forward-looking statements, non-recurring items, shorting, margin, volatility, bull market, bear market, bonds, mutual funds, exchange-traded funds, hedge funds, GAAP and non-GAAP earnings. These are just some of the basic terms that you should know. You should know them like the back of your hand. If you're going to be an investor, you need to know them. And these are, I'm not even finished with dividends, indexes, analyst ratings. There's just a basic terms. And of course, Investopedia is a very good place to go and learn these terms. And I've talked about that before. Start to learn the terms. And once it's a process, everybody. You can't know everything right away. As a beginner, you need to start with terms, learning the terms. And I try to tell you these terms and what they mean, but and go to a place and find out what they mean. Start reading. Go to investopedia.com, as I said. Take the tutorials. You got to start somewhere, and it's a really good place to start. Read some of the beginner books. There's really a lot of books out there are designed for beginners. Written for you. My book is Above Average Investing for the Average Investor. And then there's Beating the Street, One Up on Wall Street. There's a number of them that are pretty easy to read in beginners. Just start reading. Just start educating yourself. I'm telling you, you will learn. It just takes time. It takes time. But if you have the interest, then you got time. So what? What's the big rush? Unless you're 110 years old. Yeah. This is the Best Talk. I'm Steve Peasley. 888-99-CHART is how you can reach me right now. That's our toll-free number. You can call anytime you want. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, meaning live right now. Any money questions are welcome. 888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Rabi in Santa Clara. How you doing, Rabi?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
This is regarding the stock Markel, MKL, the symbol. What is the fundamentals and what is the business prospect for the future growth?
Okay, let's take
a
look.
I'd like to know.
Markel Corporation. It is a $13 billion company, so it's quite large. Offers specialty insurance products and programs for niche markets and also writes treaty reinsurance contracts. So that means it is a reinsurer. It insures insurance company and it writes special types of insurance, like insurance against earthquakes or typhoons or hole-in-one insurance, just specialty kinds of things. And it's a big. It's very big, and it grows. It grows. It sells 3 to 5, 6% per quarter, and it does that consistently. It has been doing it consistently. Earnings are going to be $24.83 a share, which is down from last year. Next year, it's going to be $0.28 a share, and the price of the stock is $956. Now, that will frighten most people, Ruby, because the you buy one share, it's going to cost you $956. It shouldn't frighten anybody, but it does because it's so high price. The return on equity is only 6%, and it's kind of pricey, not because of the price of the stock, but compared earnings to the price of the stock, it's pricey in that relationship. So it's like, 30 PE, which is quite high, and the range of the 5-year PE range is 15 to 41. So it's kind of expensive, and it doesn't pay a dividend. So I think you got to wait for a really good pullback before you decide to buy this one. It's a very slow grower. Not a lot of debt. Management owns 33%. Mutual funds have been holding on to it, not really buyers or sellers. You want to wait for a strong pullback if you want to buy this one, Ruby. I wouldn't buy it here. Okay?
Thank you.
Thanks for the call. Markel Corporation. Markel. And the symbol again is MKL. MKL. 888-99-CHARGE is our number. 888-992-4278. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? How about the middle class is shrinking in the U.S.? We all know that. It's been written about. We're talking about some Pew Research findings, okay? So what is the case? What is really happening? Well, from 1991 to 2010, the middle class used to be 62%. Now it's 59%. So it's only 3%, but it is shrinking. Now, the U.S. has a larger upper income tier than Western Europe and then many other parts of the world, has a larger upper income tier than they do. In Spain, the middle class is 64. In Denmark, it's 80. But where is the middle class gone? Our low income tier has not gotten bigger. So it's not like that's where it's gone. What's happened is, and what's kind of interesting, is part of the reason we have a smaller middle class is that we've lost a lot of manufacturing jobs. But where has the middle class gone? What's really interesting is the percentage of people making $100,000 or more has tripled from 8% to 26% from 1967 to 2017. Whereas, as I said, the lower income group has stayed the same. So what's happening here, everybody, despite all the political fighting you hear about, oh, we're losing our middle class, that's the terrible thing. What's happening is our middle class is shrinking because we're having a higher tier of more of higher income people, not necessarily people getting poorer. And the reason why the middle class is shrinking is because we've lost our manufacturing, a lot of manufacturing jobs. We need those back if you want the middle class to grow again. It's not all bad news is what I'm saying. It's not. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What financial mistake are millennials making? What financial mistake? Huge. It's a big financial mistake are the millennials making. And the fastest ways to lose all your money in the stock market. I got 5 of them. And many people are using them. That's not a good thing. We had some economic news out this morning. Do you realize the leading economic indicators came out? That's a monthly report that comes out every month. Leading economic indicators. It's a report on 10 individual leading economic indicators, and it's a LEI compiles those into one. And the leading economic indicators were still positive, up 0.3%. Last month was up 0.5%. So what's happening is, this is what you look for. Is it a trend? It's not a trend when it's only 1 month. but you want to look for a trend. And of course, when it shrinks, the leading economic indicators are trying to suggest what the economy is going to be like 3-6 months down the road. And right now it's saying it's growing. But the possibility is less so, though. Don't forget, InvestTalk is a two-way conversation, so let's hear your money question or investing experience. This is InvestTalk. Our number is 888-99-CHART.
Our podcast continues. First, a couple of words about an event coming up. Licensed real estate agent and investor Chevy Akison joins InvestTalk's own financial advisor and licensed realtor Justin Klein for a one-hour webinar about real estate, and they'll show you the things you need to know to be a successful real estate investor. The basics of residential real estate investing, a free live webinar coming up May 31st, 6:30 to 7:30 p.m. Pacific Time. If you're an individual who is thinking about investing in real estate for profit, this could be a very profitable way to invest an hour. The webinar is free. All you do is register. Just go to investtalk.com. That's InvestTalk with two T's, investtalk.com, and click on the InvestTalk tab. Now let's continue with the podcast.
Hi there. I wanted to invest somewhere. I have this money sitting in Ally Bank for 1.05%, and I was thinking that Disney would be a good place to go. So I'm looking at the Fidelity mutual funds and looking to see where is Disney, you know, hidden in all those piles and piles of funds, and wanted to get your recommendation. I assume Disney is not going to crash anytime soon, no matter how volatile up and down the market is, or high, or is this a good time, I guess, to invest, and it's a horrible time because everything is high. So I'm kind of confused on what to decide. Thank you.
Okay, well, there's no confusion. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to slowly dollar cost average into the stock market. Okay, you don't have to do anything today. Nothing's really in a rush. If you want to buy Disney, if that's what I understood you to say, Walt Disney, buy that stock, DIS Disney. Buy 3% of your overall portfolio of Disney and buy it and sit on it and let it. It's a big blue chip company. It will do fine over time. But I would suggest you dollar cost average into the broader market, not into any one stock. You want to get good diversification. Dollar cost averaging, what does that mean? That means buying the same amount of a mutual fund or an ETF every couple weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, buy the same amount of money, using the same amount of money over time. Divide the money up over the next 6 months or so and just buy it. Yes, sometimes you'll buy it when the market's expensive, like it is right now. Sometimes you'll buy it when it's on sale. Maybe you'll have a correction. I mean, I already had a 2% correction, 1.82% correction yesterday. So it's already started a correction. That may stop right there. I don't know. But that's what dollar cost averaging will do. It'll ignore whatever the market's doing and just get you in the market over time on an average price. The best you can do. The other thing you can do is be patient, wait for a recession, then buy the market a recession. But most people can't wait that long, won't wait that long, and when the recession hits and market crashes, they won't buy it. Just don't, because they're scared. You've got to control your fear. 888-99-CHART, good question. 888-992-4278. Okay, the big financial mistake millennials are making right now. Okay, 21% have changed jobs in the last year. That's not necessarily a financial mistake. That is triple what past generations were doing. Less than 50% of the millennials see themselves in the same job in a year. That's very different from past generations. But that's not also a major mistake, not a major financial mistake. Many of the millennials see themselves having four different jobs before they're 32 years old. And remember, there's 75 million of these millennials out there. That's also very different. Four jobs before you're 32. In other words, they don't see themselves staying in the same job very long and don't have any desire to do with that. That is not the financial mistake that they're making. The financial mistake they're making is, number one, not contributing to the 401k or an IRA. And when they change jobs, taking their 401k money and spending it instead of rolling into an IRA and continuing to invest and buy and put more money into their retirement accounts. They're taking their retirement accounts and spending it. Therefore, they're getting tax and penalty on that money. They're doing it because, well, it's not very big, so I haven't put very much money in it yet, so I might as well spend it and go on a vacation. That is the financial, huge financial mistake they're making. They're doing it consistently, and it is wrong if they plan on retiring. And so they're making the same mistakes generations before them made, not saving money for their retirement early. They're spending it, just like other generations have done, even though they have more knowledge than previous generations, knowing that that is a mistake. So that's what the problem is. Okay? They got to stop doing that. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Here's an investing term you should know. What is a value stock? Remember, KPP Financial is a value plus growth registered investment advisor firm. It's what we do, value plus growth. So what's a value stock? What does the value part mean? A value stock is a stock that tends to trade at a lower price relative to its fundamentals, dividends, earnings, sales. And so is considered undervalued by a value investor. Common characteristics of value stocks include high dividend yield, low price to book ratio, low price to earnings ratio. An easy way to attempt to find value stocks is to use the dogs of the Dow. That's a method of a strategy. Dogs of Dow, it's an investing strategy and what they do, they purchase the 10 highest yielding stocks on the Dow Jones Industrial beginning at each year. And then you adjust the portfolio every year after that, selling the ones that are no longer the 10 highest dividend yielding stocks. If you think about it, when does the dividend yield go up? It goes up when the company increases its dividend or the stock price goes down and the dividend yield goes up because it's a lower price and the same amount of dividend being paid. So therefore, it tends to become a value stock because the value going down, the dividend yield is much higher. Dogs of the Dow. To see more in-depth definition examples, just go over to our friends at Investopedia.com. Remember, I have no connection with Investopedia.com. I just think it's a great website for people to learn things. I do. I really like it.
Steve sets aside time each month for our listeners on a one-to-one basis, offering a second opinion about their retirement portfolio, offering some ideas and solutions. It can be done on Skype or telephone from anywhere in the U.S. If you live in Southern California, Steve will be meeting with listeners at our Dana Point office on May 25th. Then he'll be in San Jose, June 14th. So if you'd like to reserve your own hour with Steve, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review.
Hi, my name is Arthur from Los Angeles. I'd like to know about Grainger Worldwide, GWW. What's the entry point? It looks like it's after they got the earnings. It keeps falling and falling, and I'm trying to find out where can I buy this stock. I appreciate your input. Thank you.
Grainger, everybody. GWW is a symbol. It distributes tools, lighting, plumbing, and other maintenance products via 284 branches and 18 distribution centers. It's a $10 billion company, so it's a big cap company paying 3% dividend yield. And it's starting to get into the range of a value play. value. We just talked about what is a value stock. Well, here's some of the characteristics. It fits that term. The dividend is pretty high at 3%. The price-earnings ratio is 15, and the five-year range of the price-earnings ratio is 15 to 24, so it's at the very bottom. Return on equity is very high at 35%. Cash flow is very strong at $16.32. The stock is $173 price, and it's going to make $11.44 next year. So that means the dividend is still, the P.E. ratio is still going to be about the same, about 15. Okay, a characteristic that takes it out of a value play. It's selling at 5x book value. That's high. That's not good. It has a decent amount of debt. That's also takes it away from being a value play. But you'll never have a perfect number. Never have perfect all the numbers line up 100% of the time. It just does not happen in my business. In this business, it does not happen. Now, sales are only growing 1% to 3%. But remember, a value stock doesn't really look at sales necessarily. That's not a primary driver of a value stock. It can be important, but not necessarily the thing you're looking at. Now, you're looking for a bottom. Well, the stock has been falling very sharply, and I'm sure it had something to do with earnings. It's gone from $250 or so down to $173 in the last, couple, 3 months? Okay, so it's now $173. Where is it going to stop because it's still falling? Well, it has very strong support, about $130. Remember, it's $173 now. There is no support where it is now. So it's not done falling, I think. We got to wait. You got to be careful. I'm hoping and thinking that about 100 and I'm going to say it's about $130. That's what it looks like. Seems like there'd be some strong support coming in then. Meanwhile, just let it go. Keep watching it. GWW, Granger. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Okay, the fastest ways to lose all your money in the stock market. In other words, don't do these things. This is what I'm suggesting. These are the fastest ways to lose all your money. Number one, put all your money in one basket. Buy one stock. I don't care how good it is. Go ahead and buy it. There's been in history many times where one big company that you think is safe go out of business. Number two, day trade. Be a day trader. You'll lose all your money. Just day trade. That's a good way to lose all your money. Buy penny stocks. One of the best ways to lose all your money. Buy penny stocks. Sell stocks short. Be a short seller. Selling stocks short, meaning betting that the stocks will go down. And number five, follow your gut instincts. Following your gut instincts means you'll lose all your money. It's not how you make money in the market. So those are the five fastest ways to lose money in the market. Now, every one of these, putting your money in one stock, yeah, you could make a huge amount of money doing that. You could guess the right stock. You could. Also, day trading. Yes, you can make money day trading. You can. But most people don't. Most people lose all their money. Buying penny stocks. Yes, you can buy a stock, penny stock. It goes from 3 cents to $1.50. You make a huge amount of money doing that. But most of them go out of business. 99% of them go out of business. Sell stocks short. Yeah, there's our successful short sellers out there. But the market has a bias to go up, not down. It's much more, and selling stocks short, you have the potential of unlimited losses. You shouldn't do that. And follow your gut instincts. You're just guessing. You're guessing. You don't know. You have no idea. You're just taking a guess. Roll it. It's like rolling. Most will go to Vegas and guess on black on the roulette table. There you go. You have better chance of being successful in Vegas. Those are ways to lose a lot of money. Let's talk to Jerry in Palo Alto. How you doing, Jerry? You want to talk about TIBA?
Yeah, Got no one to hold them, no one to fold them, or average down, or what?
I'm thinking about buying more. We already own it. You know we already own it. It had a big down day yesterday. Well, the market had a big down day yesterday. So is it, you know, the fundamentals did not change one bit. And, you know, we are a value investor. Here you're looking at a stock with a P.E. of 6. And it's going to make $4.69 next year at a $29 stock. The growth of sales were up 17% last quarter, 33% the quarter before that, 15% the quarter before that. Hardly any debt. I'm buying more.
Okay.
Thanks, Jerry. I appreciate
it. Good enough.
Right.
Yeah.
Mind you, everybody, it is, you know, at a very low point. It's been falling. Fell again today. But I still think, I don't think this is one you run from. So unless something, this could be a value trap. You ever heard of that term, value trap? This could be a value trap. This is one of the reasons why you don't put more than 3% in any one stock. This could be a value trap where it looks really cheap, but maybe there's something wrong that we don't know about. Remember, it's a Teva, T-E-V-A, Teva Pharmaceuticals, a generic drug maker, specialty drug maker out of Israel. That's where, but they're huge. They're a $30 billion company, pays 3.9% dividend, pretty safe. Anyway, it's time for InvestTalk 101, a lesson in everyday investing. We talked earlier about municipal ETFs. What about the individual bonds themselves? There are certain tax advantages to owning municipal bonds. They're double tax-free, state tax-free and government, U.S. government tax-free. What's one way to minimize the downside? The answer is to stay diversified. Stay diversified. Keep the cost down. Okay, holding the bond itself rather than a mutual fund or ETF, if you hold it to maturity, it always goes back to par value. Par is what it was issued at par, and it will go back to par when it matures. Whereas an ETF mutual fund doesn't do that. The bonds inside of it go to par, but the ETF sells at net asset value or a discount or a premium to NASDAQ. You listen to Invest Talk, and your calls are important. Questions or comments go right to the head of the line. We'd love to hear from you before the hour's up. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve or Justin. I wonder if you could give me your opinion about Halliburton, H-A-L. This stock has been in the slumps for about 3 or 4 years or more. I'm wondering if this would be a good time to buy. I'll be listening for your answer on the podcast. Thanks again.
Halliburton, everybody. Halliburton Company, H-A-L is a symbol, provides reservoir completion and drilling services and products worldwide to the upstream oil and gas industry. It's huge at $40 billion, so it's a big, big company. And their sales have been falling for 2 years and falling strongly. I mean, from $5.9 billion a quarter to today, $4.2 billion a quarter. So you could see it's kind of a tough fall. Now, the last two quarters, it gained a couple percentage points. So it may have bottomed as far as its sales falling. That may have stopped. They're going to make 96 cents this year. That's up from losing 2 cents last year, which is the first year they've lost money, and I can't tell you how long. Next year, they're going to make $2.72. So from 96 cents to 272, that's a lot. Even from losing 2 cents to making 96 cents, that's a lot. So it looks like they've turned a corner. And if you're going to ask me what a great buy point is in the low 40s. And a good buy point is right where it is now, at $46.58. So I would say this is a very good buy point. Now, at $2.72 and a $46 stock seems kind of expensive if you think about the P.E. ratio, right? Seems kind of expensive. But look at the growth of earnings when the sales growth has finally turned up 2% over the most recent quarter. Sales growth looks like it's stabilized. Earnings will dramatically increase if that's the case. And you've already seen it for this year and next. So I'm betting on the continuation of that trajectory. And I think it will, because I think the world economy is starting to gain a little bit of traction. And that means there'll be more demand for oil and gas. And that means there'll be more demand for Halliburton services. That's my theory. I could be all wrong, but that's my theory. Let's go to Gall in Fremont. How are you doing, Gall?
I'm doing good. Steve, I have a question for you regarding S&P, a broad index,
sure,
versus buying like 1/6 of the small, medium, large growth and values. If I take 6 of those versus the general S&P, is there any pros and cons other than spending charges for buying 6 stocks versus one?
There's probably, when you say 6 stocks, you mean 6 indexes or 6 sectors? Or are you talking
6
about
indexes.
Okay. There's going to be a lot of overlap. Is there advantage of it? I'm going to say probably not, Cole. The S&P 500 is, the 500 largest companies. One thing you might be missing if you buy the S&P 500, is you might be missing out on the small cap stocks, which usually have higher growth prospects. More risk, but more growth. So you could probably do the same thing with an S&P 500 fund and then maybe a small cap index and then maybe a emerging market index. You see how I'm trying to get to different parts of the investment equity world? So
yeah, that's good.
Yeah, so I probably would do it that way. I wouldn't do a lot of emerging markets, maybe 10% or so of your portfolio. Maybe even a 5 or 10% exposure to Europe, an index of Europe. But the S&P 500 is really good for the large, stable companies in the U.S., okay?
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Appreciate the call. Thank you. Time to go, everybody. I didn't realize we were running out of time. I hope the hour has been worth your while. I really do. And I thank you for listening and joining in. You can reach me directly with any question or comment. As long as it's financial, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Contact Steve button. I will get back to you, I promise. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everyone at KPP, thanks for being with me today. And let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.